Hello and welcome to this special Rare Disease Day edition of the Doc Talk podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Campbell, editor with HCP Live, and today we'll be talking to Shika Dunyo of the National Organization for Rare Diseases, better known as NORD. Ms. Dunyo is the Director of Education Programs with NORD, and today for our special edition podcast, we'll be discussing a year in review of education, patient advocacy, just about everything else rare disease. Now, without further ado, Ms. Dunyo, if you could please introduce yourself to our audience, then we could dive into our questions.
Hi there. My name is Shika Dunyo. I'm the Director of Education Programs at the National Organization for Rare Disorders, or NORD. And I am in charge of developing and managing educational programs and resources for patients and caregivers, medical professionals, and students. And so my team really manages everything from the programming at our annual summit to NORD's educational webinar series, our CME programming, video development, as well as our student chapter and club program, Students for Rare. So we're a really busy department. I actually started out my career in publishing. I've marketed academic books and journals my entire career, but I do have a personal connection to rare diseases. My sister, Carolyn, was diagnosed with a rare autoimmune disease when she was 21, and unfortunately, she passed away a year and a half after her diagnosis in 2008. And so that really started my journey in rare diseases, and about 5 years ago, I felt pulled to do something in memory of her, and so I started fundraising on behalf of NORD to raise $10,000 in my sister's memory. And through that work, I realized that I wanted to work in rare diseases. And so a couple of years after that, NORD hired me. And so I've been working at NORD for about 2.5 years. And it's been an incredible experience developing valuable programs and supporting the community through their journey, and I still get to continue to honor my sister's memory in the process.
All right, thank you for that. And now I guess we'll just dive right into the questions. First, as the Director of Education Programs, let's talk about some of the successes that have come about recently as a result of NORD's education programs, whether that be educating more primary care physicians to be aware of certain rare diseases, or whether that be more patient advocacy and just general education. Could you dive into sort of some of the things that NORD has done this year in terms of education programs?
Sure. So this past year has been incredible for the Educational Initiatives Department. This past year, we held our largest summit to date. If you're not familiar with Summit, Summit is our annual Orphan Products and Breakthrough Summit, and we bring together stakeholders from patient advocacy organizations, pharmaceutical companies, we bring physicians, payers, people from FDA and NIH to all come together and talk about topics that are going to drive progress within the rare disease space. And so this past year, we had 900 registrants, our largest summit to date. We also attracted our highest ranking official, Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alice Azar. He made a keynote address. And so what we're seeing with the growth of Summit and what we're seeing kind of throughout the rare disease space when it comes to orphan product development, advocacy, social media chatter is that rare diseases is growing. People are becoming more interested in learning more. With social media, you know, people are coming together and collaborating and raising awareness. And so that's being reflected in the growth that we're seeing in our annual summit. So that's been really exciting to see. In addition, we have developed a partnership with a online CME company called Platform Q. And together, we are working to educate clinicians and other healthcare providers about rare diseases. It's wonderful because it's an online platform, so learners can learn at their own convenience without having to travel or to pay for lodging and that kind of thing. And what we're seeing is that there are still so many gaps in rare disease education that leads to delays in diagnosis, and treatment options are scarce. And so this educational collaboration is designed to really move the needle in speeding diagnosis, providing better treatment options. So we're really proud of that. So far, together, we've delivered 3 or 4 programs, and we expect to deliver many more this year on disease states like hemophilia, spinal muscular atrophy. So we're really, really proud of this program. In addition, our webinar series has been really popular. On average, we are attracting more than 600 registrants. Our webinar series is held monthly, and it's designed to educate patients and caregivers about a variety of topics that will help improve their rare disease experience. We cover topics everything from general topics like genetic testing 101, all the way to more practical application-based topics like how to navigate your insurance, and how to start a nonprofit. So it's been really, really exciting to see how popular this series has become. We're always getting really positive feedback after the webinars. People are super grateful for being able to get this content for free. In addition, late last year, we had a 5-part webinar series on gene therapy, which is, as you know, a really, really exciting innovation that is promising to really change the lives of many rare disease communities. So the average on those webinars were about 900 per episode. So this year has just been really, really full of exciting programming and communities that are very grateful for the work that Educational Initiatives has been doing. And so we just expect to do more of that this year. We want to be able to continue to provide useful programming to the community.
All right, thank you for that. And I was actually at NORD Summit this year doing coverage for HCP Live. It was a fantastic meeting.
Oh, now, thank you so much.
No problem. Now, every year, public knowledge on rare disease grows more and more, as you touched on, but there's still a lot of areas and a lot of certain diseases that are in need of that spotlight. What is needed, do you think, to sort of get over that hump and get rare disease on the same tier of public awareness as some of these other specialties?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think what will help kind of push the space forward is continued collaboration. There are 7,000 rare diseases, and that number is growing. And so how do we all kind of come together to push the narrative and to get rare diseases on a bigger platform? And I think it's going to require collaboration across the space and to use our collective voices to increase, our messaging, our advocacy, and to communicate as one group. You think about the Orphan Drug Act, which was passed in 1983, and how that came about. And it was, a group of mothers who were determined to see more therapies developed for their children. They all came from different communities, but they used their collective voices to raise awareness, and that changed the rare disease space forever. I mean, there were only a few therapies out there for rare diseases, and that number has grown exponentially since. And so you see that model and you see how well it worked. And I think that, we can use that model again to get over the hump and to raise awareness. And, we're seeing that. We're seeing the improvements there. You're seeing more dialogue on the Hill. You're seeing more therapies being produced. you know, every year in the orphan product space, you're seeing conferences like our summit growing. You're seeing private industry becoming more interested in rare diseases. So, you know, we are seeing improvements and we need to see more. So I think, you know, Nord's slogan is alone we are rare, together we are strong. And I think in this case, that slogan is very appropriate because I think that that's how we're going to move the needle.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely, I think, especially in recent years, we've seen really an explosion in public knowledge and the whole rare disease space. And now, since it's Rare Disease Day, especially this year, since it's a leap year on February 29th, offers a unique opportunity for rare disease organizations and advocates. Why is it important to really embrace this day and increase public knowledge and take advantage of the added platform that it provides?
Sure. I mean, as I just mentioned, I think there is so much benefit to using our collective voices to raise awareness. And what better way to do it with everyone kind of focused on this particular topic on one day? You kind of increase the decibels when we're all, you know, on social media at the same time, shouting from the rooftops that it's Rare Disease Day. And there are events happening all over the world, and there are organizations like NORD in countries all over the world focused on raising awareness and starting that dialogue. And so I think that the acknowledgement of rare diseases on that day is going to help increase rare diseases into a different platform and raise the platform for the cause. And so, you know, I think that Rare Disease Day is a perfect example of what should be done every day of the year, which is us all working together to amplify the message.
Okay, thank you for that. And now, just really quick, I know you touched on a lot of the things that NORD has done. When I asked you earlier about some of the education programs and some of the things that you guys were proud of this year. And now outside of NORD and rare disease space as a whole, what were some of the more significant moments that we've seen in the past year?
So as far as significant moments this year, I've been really impressed in seeing the number of new orphan products being put to market in the past year. In 2019, the FDA approved 76 orphan indications, with 22 of those being novel. And so, you know, we're seeing increased interest in orphan product development. As I mentioned earlier, you know, with the development of the Orphan Drug Act, that's really helped increase interest in orphan products. And so, I would say that that's been a significant milestone in rare diseases. There's a new therapy for patients with cystic fibrosis. We have a new treatment for patients with erythropoietic protoporphyria. And those specific patients have light sensitivity. And so this drug is designed to help decrease the sensitivity to light. And so, again, for that those patients, it brings a lot of promise and really expands the quality of their life. There's a new therapy for patients with neuromyelitis optica. And then also, as we all have been excited to hear about the innovations in gene therapy, there's now a new gene therapy treatment for pediatric patients with spinal muscular atrophy. So the orphan product development space has just been incredible this past year, and we are slated to see more significant approvals this upcoming year, which brings so much promise to many rare disease communities. You know, we're still far from hitting the kind of numbers we need to see. Only about 90% of rare diseases have an approved treatment, but I think the kinds of treatments that we're seeing come to market are really incredible. And so hopefully we'll see more of those coming and we start to see that number increase for the number of communities that have FDA approved therapy.
All right, thank you for that. And yeah, I agree. I think the explosion we've seen in new drugs approved has really been fantastic for rare diseases as a whole. And now lastly, before I let you go, outside of the NORD Rare Summit, October 8th and 9th in Washington, D.C. this year, is there anything else or any upcoming initiatives or programs between now and next Rare Disease Day that you would like to highlight?
Sure. So we also have our Living Rare, Living Stronger conference this spring in May. If you're not familiar, it's a conference that brings together patients and their families to learn practical tools for living their best lives. So, topics around different treatment options, how to navigate relationships when you have rare diseases, how to advocate for your disease, very, very practical topics. In addition, we also try and bring medical professionals and medical students to this conference too, for them to learn different insights that they can take back to their practices. And then during the plenaries, we bring both sides together for mutual learning and understanding across both groups. So it's an amazing conference. It's 2 days of just really amazing education and relationship building. And, people walk away feeling hopeful. This year it's going to be in Cleveland, and we're also going to be hosting our Rare Impact Awards at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So if you're into music, it is a wonderful venue. So we want to see everyone come out for that. And then, we're going to continue to develop educational programming. We're also going to continue to develop our research platform and give out seed grants for researchers to continue to develop research on rare diseases specifically. In addition, we always have and always will continue to support the community through our patient assistance programs. So, we have a few big conferences this year, but we also are going to continue to do the important work that we've always done. And so that's really the year ahead for us. Hopefully by this time next year, we'll have some new therapies to market that we get to rave about. But from our perspective, we're always going to be here to drive progress, to advocate, to support the community.
All right, that was it of my questions. I'll let you go now. But first, thank you very much for taking part in the Doc Talk podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
All right, that's it for this special Rare Disease Day edition of the Doc Talk podcast. I'm Patrick Campbell, editor with HCP Live. Thank you for listening.